Okay, we're in the Gemara right now. And Muhammad Ibn Al. That's the Gemara.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy to wait it. Happy. Okay. We are. Where did Afghaz we leave off?
Tana Rabbanan.
Tana Rabbanan.
It's the beginning of the line.
Yeah, Tana Rabbanan. Perfect. About 8 lines to the bottom.
10 lines. Ten
lines? Ah, oh, too off. It's terrible. Tana Rabbanan. Komitzos hanohagos be'avil, nevegas tishabav. Some of the nihugi avelos that happen when you're in avil, that we also apply them to Tisha B'Av as well. Now, these first two are not related to an avil because an avil is allowed to eat and drink. But we say aser be'achila v'shtiya, that's the Tisha B'Av rule. But the other ones are avelos rules that we apply to Tisha B'Av. With besicha, putting oils on yourself, and ilas asandal. By the word rechita also is there according to the gear. So we have washing yourself, putting oils on yourself. Yilsa sandal, wearing shoes, tasha mita, being intimate with your spouse. Those are all isurim that apply to avelus, and we also apply it as well to the rules of tisha b'av. And furthermore, also like avelus, also likros b'torah b'neviim b'ksuvim. You're not allowed to read Tanakh. B'lishnos b'mishnah b'talmud b'medrash v'alachos agados. You can't learn Mishnah. You can't learn Gemara. You can't learn Midrashim. No halachas. No agaditas. But you're allowed to read a section that you're not normally familiar with. And according to, it's a little depressing, but the idea behind this over here is that Rashi points out, since you don't know what you're talking about, it's painful. It's hard to learn what you're talking about, which I guess I appreciate you guys are coming from the last number of months. But Baruch Hashem, you're past that now, right? Okay, but that doesn't matter. Anyways, back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, you're allowed to read from where you're not used to reading from the Tanakh, and you're allowed to be shown at Makom She'ein Rogulishnos. You're allowed to learn places where you're not familiar with learning either, because that's also tsar. It's hard to learn things you don't understand what you're talking about. Vikar Bikinos, Bi'io, with Varm Harayim, Shabirmia. You're allowed to read Kinos, obviously. You read Io, which is a sad story of tragedy, and other Dvarim that are painful and destructive discussions found in Sefer Yirmiya. Zinosho based Rabban, the Girsa change over here, whether it's Batalin or Ainam Batalin. So based Rabban, we'll use the Girsa we have in front of us. They also can't learn Mishum Shanambar. It says, Pikude Hashem Misharim, Misam Chelev. The words of Hashem are straight and it gladdens the heart. Whether you notice it or not, when you learn Torah, your neshama is dancing in delight, whether you notice it or not. And therefore, for that reason, learning Torah, at least when you understand it, it creates simcha. And simcha must be avoided during the period of the of Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af inu kor b'makom she'inu ragel likros, inu shosim b'makom she'inu shodim b'makom she'inu ragel lishnos." You can't. He argues, says, "No, you can't even learn areas that you're not used to learning. You can't read from Tanakh those areas. You can't learn Mishnah from those areas." And again, the reason why is because he says that whether you get it or not, you're full of simcha. You are very happy. You're very excited. Aval kori hu be'io, but you can still read depressing parts. Io. Kinos, the Bar Marad, the Yirmiya, the Tilon Shabbos Rabban, but Talon Bo, and Tilon Shabbos Rabban also should be Batil, they should not be learning. The reason why, the words of Hashem are straight and glad in the heart. You had a question, Aaron?
Yeah, so I have a friend who hasn't finished Shas yet, and so a lot of stuff that he would learn are probably not familiar to him, so would he be able to learn?
Nope. The pasuk in the end that Torah learning gladdens the heart. But what you can do is you can learn things that are depressing. The second gid, which you guys did this year, there's parts in the middle of the nuns, mid nuns to the late nuns, that are the stuff of the churban. That you're allowed to learn. You're allowed to learn topics that are we mentioned before that are somewhat saddened. Moi Kutton has a third record. Moi Kutton is all about Avelis. You can learn that. You'll also have to learn things like that are a chizuk, like Musar Svarm. You can read biographies of Gedolim that try to make us better people. The goal of Tisha B'Av is not just to not eat. Most people can survive a not eating day. It's to reflect. It's to realize destruction. It's to try to get better as people. So to learn things that are related to those, that is permissible. Yeah, Renan, what do you got?
After Chatzot, you can learn whatever you want or no?
Not usually. Usually at Chatzot, we take away some of the levels of Avelos, like you can sit in a chair. But Torah learning-wise, we assume it lasts the entire day. I think so. But again, you can read biographies. You can read things like that. You can read some of the Masechet Tainis, even maybe of bad things that are destructive things. Yeah, even things you already learned that you know already, you're allowed to read again, learn again if there's sad things. Again, I'm not sure if Titus is so sad, but getting the part of getting certainly we could do. Yeah, Pops, what do you got?
If you guys haven't watched them before, the Al Gold videos are...
I was going to say that. They're fire. He's doing a sick thing this year.
Yeah, check those out. They're really inspirational.
Yeah, they have a lot of videos that they made for this time of year. I mean, you're not going to be at a lacking for things to be involved in and engaged in. You can listen to Shirim on YU Torah. They're doing other types of classes that are going on that are related to Tisha B'Av. And again, learning-wise, you certainly can find things to learn. And certainly those of you guys in the Masechta Gittin, that's... You already know those Gemaras. That's certainly a very appropriate
Rebbe,
to go through. Yeah.
Rebbe, I feel like I've been so machmir about this minhag like my whole life. Not learning
all year, all life for this moment. For this, you're a Tisha B'Av Jew all year
he
round.
He didn't want to think that he
thought say your name.
He would be
I
able to
say
learn
who you Tisha are. In case someone's listening over here.
I don't want to get the anah out of it during Tisha B'Av, so I had to keep my options open.
Kol hakavod. Well, job well done. Okay, back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Leocha Basal Ishta Yayin, don't eat meat and don't drink wine. Again, referring to the Issurim that happened in Tisha B'Av. Tana, Ava, Ochahu Basar Meliach, Meshosa Yayin Migiso. You're allowed to eat very salted meat because the meat has lost some of its flavor. And you're allowed to drink wine that's like straight out of the press, meaning it's not yet properly fermented. Says the Gemara, Basar Meliach Akama, how much time would meat be salted? How much time would meat be salted in order to be considered basar meliach would lose its status of meat as far as the prohibition of what is this over here is during the one second? Basar ishta yayin. Hold on, sorry. It's all about Erev Tisha B'Av still. This whole thing about Erev Tisha B'Av of the basar yayin, first, obviously not Tisha B'Av, you can't eat anything Tisha B'Av. But in Erev Tisha B'Av, you can't eat basar or wheat across the 9 days, let's say. So it refers to anything that would be not called salted meat. It wasn't considered salted meat. Ad kama, amar b'chinana barkana b'shmei d'shmuel, kozman shuk yishlamim. As long as it's like korban shlamim, which means Rashi points out of here 2 days and one night, meaning a 36-hour period of time, if it's salted more than that, that would be considered basar miluach, salted meat, and therefore you would not be, you'll be allowed to eat an Arab on the 9 days. But if you had meat that was salted for less than 36 hours, then you would not be able to eat. It still has the status of being full-fledged basar. Okay. Yayin migito. What's yayin migito? Akama. What is there? Wine right out of the press. Kozman shutose. As long as it's not yet fermenting. It's still in the process of fermenting. It's not yet fermented. It's still bubbling and doing its thing. At that point in time, you're allowed to drink it. It's not really good wine. We know that wine, as it ages, it gets better. This would not be considered aged wine until it's properly fermented. How much time is that? Tana yayin toseis ein bo mishum giluy. Fermenting wine, it's not yet fermented, is no problem if you leave it giluy. There's a problem of having yayin megula or mayin megulin when you had water or wine that was left over from overnight, was uncovered. So we were afraid that a snake might have gone in and taken a little sip itself and put some of its poison in that drink. The fear that we have, that's why you don't drink usually Mayim Megulin back in the day, at least. Now there's a question whether it really applies anymore nowadays, because it wasn't a worldwide takat zero. It was only for people that had snakes that lived in their area that were pretty common. But either way, if you had wine that would not yet ferment, it would not be an issue at all if it was left overnight. Rashi points out it's like bubbling, and the snakes are not excited to be part of that drink. The comments tell us how long it takes until it properly ferments, until it's called proper wine. Yibul Yavim, 3 days. So the first 3 days after you pressed it, if you want to drink that drink, it's a little, doesn't taste down, so it tastes so good, but that would not be a problem of drinking wine in the 9 days. I'm reviewed, I'm around.
Rabbi, what's giloy? What's giloy?
Giloy means if it's open, if it's left it uncovered, overnight, uncovered. Usually uncovered drinks like wine or milk or water could be a problem. You shouldn't drink it because we're afraid maybe a snake got his fangs in it and put some of his poison in there. But if it was not yet fermented, a snake's afraid of it. It's not going to go near it. Okay, I'm Rabbi Barab. Kachem min hagush Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Ilai. This is the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Ilai. Erev Tisha B'Av mevi'im lo pascha riva b'melach. They would give him dry bread with salt. The yoshev bein tanur l'kirayim top of laman of beis. He would sit between the oven and the stove. And Rashi went over here. It's a place that was very dirty. You had a lot of soot and ash there. V'ocha v'shosa alei kiton shemayim. He would drink like from a pitcher of water. The double kamisha meso mutalafav, and he would be acting like he was mourning. He had his water and bread and salt and sitting in like ash, and it was like it was mourning. And there's something that unfortunately we go through the motions of Tishah B'Av, but we don't really necessarily feel this way. But I've seen people who really did feel this way. They would cry during the Shema Sekis. They would feel the pain of basically being God. Something that we should really try our hardest to get to feel during this period of time. It's not we learn the Mishnah. It's not awesome. Makom shenagu lasos melacha b'Tishah B'Av osin. Wherever people have the custom of still doing work on Tishah B'Av itself, you can still do work there. That's the minute you have in your town. If the custom that you had was not to do work in that town, you should not do work if that was the custom of your area. No matter where you live, though, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do work. Better he should not do work due to the fact that the day should be focused much more on the morning of it. In this area, though, it's something that is a little bit unique. You're allowed to treat yourself like you're a Talmud Chacham. Usually we say, if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't act like one. But here, if you want to be extra machmir and say, you know what, maybe I'm a Talmud Chacham, I shouldn't do work, even though you live in a place where people do work. In that case, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to be more machmir in yourself, to treat yourself like you're Talmud Chacham and refrain from doing work, even if the area you live in, people are not so careful and do work in those areas. Okay. Yeah, Renan, what do you got?
Don't you think that I could, like, shed a bad light, though, just in general? Because we... Like, let's say, like, a lot of people in Israel, like, see, like, Haredi and, like, oh, you don't work, like, it's a bad sign. Don't you think that could be like, oh, you're choosing, finding an excuse not to work on this day? Like, these people are working, they're religious.
Yeah, listen, Tisha B'Av is a day when we were destroyed for sinas chinam. We have hatred for no reason. I would hope that we would all try, whoever is out there looking at other people, this is not the time to do it. You know, this is the time, dafka, for us to say, you know, we're all brothers, you know, we're in this together. Beis HaMikdash hurt everyone the same. And if someone wants to treat his, you know, the Beis HaMikdash destroyed and wants to be more machmir on himself and not do any work at all, I would hope that at least for this one day, you know, it's like, I don't want to say who it was, but the person who's machmir all year long, not to learn too much Torah, not to Tisha B'Av. So I hope that one day a year, I hope that everyone... this one day a year can like muster up the strength and the ability to show a little bit extra love and not fall to these types of judgments. But people do look at people that way, but it's really better to try to overcome those things, especially at Tisha B'Av, for sure. Aaron, what do you got?
Yeah, I was gonna like kind of piggyback off that, like in terms of like URL, like are there times where we kind of suspend that concern for higher purposes, like
right? So Aaron's referencing URL is when a person looks at himself in a like he puts himself to a certain level and acts like he's a great person, and that could cause a level of arrogance. So over here, the point is that normally we don't say anyone who wants to can act like a Talmud Chacham, but over here, we give that green light. Dafka, in this case, I assume the reason why is that this, besides just being like a Talmud Chacham, it actually has a benefit to not doing work in Tisha B'Av. You're able to really spend time and think about the day itself properly. Again, I know that I was in camp back in the day. Tisha B'Av was a day when you like kind of, you know, you kind of hung out with the boys still. I mean, you didn't play ball. You watched the movie, you know, you saw one of those movies, whatever movie it was, and then you, like, chill with the fellas. I remember one time I was in camp, and a girl was like, you want to go on a walk? I'm like, yeah, that's Tisha B'Av, you know. Got to keep myself busy. That's not exactly what you should be doing during Tisha B'Av. You're supposed to be focused on the morning. The Chafetz Chaim even brings down in Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha, he says he would think to maybe, he's not going to, he says, I'm not doing it, but I would think to erase the Isser of learning Torah, because what else are you doing? Like, what are you doing the whole day? You know, again, you think about it in camps, you guys are having a great time. It's not what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about realizing that we're in a tough time, that we're having a difficulty. We want to really focus on that properly. So if you can't, that's really the goal of the day. Whatever else comes along with that, we're supposed to be, that's really the Iker day. The fasting is a means to get to that end. If you fast, you're playing games all day long, you're watching movies all day long, you're hanging out with your friends all day long, It's not Tisha B'Av. That's a day that you've hijacked. You kidnapped it from Tisha B'Av to be a day of like, it's a nice diet you took for the day. Yeah, Pops, what do you got?
On Aaron's point, the one thing about fasting, there are more attributes to being a scholar than fasting. And so the bottom line is, I don't think that's going to change much in terms of people's attitude. Ooh, he's trying to be a scholar. So I wouldn't worry about that. In terms of Ranan's point, the one day being Tisha B'Av, look at these people, they're fasting when they could be working, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. don't fool yourself and think that that's the one time they're going to look at you and say, aha, you're a Haredi, and therefore you're doing something wrong. It just adds to the list of the ones that they're thinking about beforehand. So I wouldn't worry about single circumstances. Look at the overall picture if you want to be worried about what people are thinking about you.
Okay. Okay. Shkach.
And you were supposed to say, good point, Dad. Good point.
Great point, Dad. Great point. And we're talking about years. This man's got years of experience. Don't forget that. He's got years of experience on you guys. So he's got, you know, you got to be, trust the elder statesman of the Chabura. Okay. At least in this context. I don't agree with everything that's mentioned, you know, but this context, at least I'll give it to him.
And yeah. Just to be clear, I'm not holding myself out as an elder statesman, just so we know.
Okay, back in the
Rebbe, room. I'm smelling a kind of a night sitter buy-in right now from Mr. Schneider.
That you got an offer. You got Aaron Bluth is offering for you to go to the University of Maryland and to present a night sitter there in Maryland.
The problem with that, Rabbi, is he'll probably turn to the dark side if he spends more time with me.
I was hoping you'd spend more time with him and he'd turn you back to the right side. I sat back in Aaron this one. I was banking on it.
Always an option. But with social distancing, the odds are not good.
Maybe go with you guys, go to Muncie.
Maybe I'm just going to go on the boat.
You think it'll work out okay?
I just need to get on the boat.
There you go. we've got it taken care of. Not on the jet ski, but on the boat. And then we'll go out to the cove.
All right, back to the mark. This is Weiter. Is there a mute button here? Is there a mute button? Weiter. Just a little shout out to Moshe.
There isn't.
Moshe. Good to see you over there. Okay, anyways, back to the Gemara. The Gemara points out, we have a similar teaching from Shimon Leah Omer, Lo'olam Yasa Adam Atzmo Ketam Mokachem, Dei Shizana. A person, again, is allowed to, and maybe should even, make himself like a Tamachachem in this context, so that he can make himself go through again, Yisana means like Inoy, he's struggling, he's suffering, he's having a hard time here. You should, you know, it's good not to distract yourself, it's good to be focused on the day at hand. Tani Idach, another teaching, Shimon Leah Omer, Kol Ochel B'Shoshim B'Tishabav, even though Tisha B'Av is not mentioned in the as far as the fast goes in the Torah, but if you eat or drink a Tisha B'Av, it's like you ate or drank on Yom Kippur itself. B'Kiva Omer, Kolosim Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, Eina Roa Simen Brach Le'olam. B'Kiva expanded what he said earlier on. He says if you do Malacha, if you do work on Tisha B'Av, you're not going to see a Simen Brach, at least from that work, Rashi points out, not in life, but in that work that you do, you think it's going to be good. You give it some time, you'll see the investment you made that day is, in the end of the day, it's not going to be in your best interest. If you work to distract yourself and you're not properly mourning over the loss of the base of mikdash, the destruction of Yerushalayim, you're not going to be zocha to see the simcha. It should happen very soon to Hashem, Mary Aminu, when Yerushalayim is rebuilt. It says, simcha is Yerushalayim, v'gilu ba kol aveh, tisu ita misos kol mitavlim aleh, which means, rejoice over Yerushalayim, be exalted, be happy, all those who love it. Celebrate with it the celebrations of all those who mourned over it. Meaning when you mourn over it, then you're zocha when the time comes to celebrate with it. But if you don't mourn over it, you're not going to be zocha to celebrate with it when the time comes. Mikan Amru, from here we say, Kol Mis'abo Yerushalayim, zocha b'roa b'simchasa. V'she'edim Mis'abo Yerushalayim, in roa b'simchasa. The ones who mourned over Yerushalayim, merit to see it in its glory and its happiness. And the ones who do not mourn over it will not merit to see it in its state of happiness. I mean, we have a teaching as well. Which means whoever eats meat and drinks wine and Tishabav, again, it's, you're talking about the extreme you can get. Not talking about the 9 days, talking about Tishabav itself. You're eating, drinking, celebratory things. The Torah says about you that your crime will be on your bones, meaning it's such a penetrating crime, one that does not erase easily. The Gemara tells what Mishnah tells over. Gemara is quoting right now. Behuda required one of the customs you have in mourning is to turn your bed over. It's to put your bed in the ground. Behuda said that's something you should do with Tishbub as well. The Chum did not agree with him. Tani was taught Amar Lo or the Chum said Behuda Levarecha. According to your opinion, ubros umenikos, mate aleihen. What do you say, women who are pregnant or are nursing, who are not able to lie on the floor like that? What would you say about them? How they're supposed to? They can't do that on Tisha B'Av. Amalehem. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to the chavim. Afanilo marti el biyachol. I only said this din people who can do it. Of course, if a pregnant lady or a lady who's nursing, her body would not allow her to lie on the ground. Of course, they wouldn't have to. Tanya Namyakhi, we've been teaching that's actually very similar to this. Modra Yehuda Lechavim Mishaino Yachol. Rabbi Yehuda admits or agrees with the Chavim's opinion that you do not turn over your bed when you're not able to, like a woman who's pregnant or a woman who's nursing. Modra Lechavim Rabbi Yehuda Biyachol. Rabbi Chavim agrees with Yehuda that if you can, you should. Now that sounds like it's the same opinion then in the end. They both agree with each other. So what do they argue about, says the Gemara? My Benai, what's the Machlokas? Yige Benai was Shar Mitos. Machlokas is, how about other beds? Meaning, is there a din of putting only your bed you sleep on the ground? Or maybe you should turn over every bed in your house when a person's in a state of mourning as a sign of mourning? That's a machlokas. When we say that you should turn over your bed and put it on the ground, not only does he turn his bed he sleeps on the ground, but all the beds in the whole entire house is a sign of mourning in a base avil, you put it on the ground. This, you know, it's not the custom we have today. Today the custom is not to turn over the beds to the ground. But that was a custom at some point in time. Bottom line, sakalocha
amarav. Why isn't it a custom anymore?
What's that? I'm sorry, Gabe.
Why isn't it a custom anymore?
So people bring down, the forces bring down that it became looks like I don't know why, but this apparently is a sign of witchcraft, sorcery, and witchcraft. People who put their beds and sleep on the ground is like a thing that points to unusual behaviors, and we don't want people to accuse Israel of being witchcraft, full witchcraft, and sorcery. And it says again, it's only a custom. They did away with the custom. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
And so the Chumim say that for your own bed, if you're able to, you're allowed to overturn it. They would agree with that, or they say no bed at all.
That sounds like what the Gemara says that over here. The Gemara does say that, but we're seeing it's not true. Meaning, the Gemara right now is pointing out that opinion. It sounds like that would be the case, but the Pesach Allah does not like that. The Gemara says over here. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Hilchos such a time to be done. The Halakha is like our Tana of our Mishnah." The Chacham did not agree at all. There is nothing about your bed at all that you should do. So we quoted a machlokas in the Gemara, where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham would agree, if you can, you should, for your own bed. If you can't, you don't. And they said in every other bed in the house, machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda says you should, and the Chacham says you don't. And Rabbi says, we don't pass them like that. We pass them that you don't no matter what. Your bed, anyone's bed, there's no din of putting it on the floor. It's not an obligation that you have to eat if you can. Yeah, Urdo, what do you got?
When someone's in a velus, aren't they supposed to cover the mirrors in their house?
Yeah, so it's not brought down. It's true. It's not brought down over here, though, but it is a din. I never saw someone say ever Tisha B'Av, but it is a din that when a person is in mourning, they should cover the mirrors in their home. I never saw someone bring it down with Tisha B'Av. I'm not sure why, but I didn't see that. That's a good point. Okay.
The issue may be that over the period of mourning, which is 7 days, your appearance deteriorates over the 7 days in terms of not being clean shaven and the makeup and all other stuff. Tisha B'Av is 1 day shot. Covering it for the 1 day doesn't have the same significance as it would over the week period of time. So the week makes
that,
more.
I don't know. Is that the reason why you cover the mirror in the first place? I don't know what the reason is. Is that the reason why you cover the mirror?
I thought it was. So you wouldn't.
Well, there are opinions in the Gemara that you did all these avelus things for the whole entire week of Tisha B'Av. So it seems like maybe those people that
not said that not these levels. I mean, we don't do it. We're not Isser Batasa Mita or Neil Sassan. But I mean, the main prohibition that are compared to Avelos, we really save for the Tisha B'Av day itself. But I'm not sure what the reason is. You know, I can look up later on. I'll check my safer ad over here. Why we cover the mirrors? But I
think it's because you're not supposed to see.
Is that Aaron?
I think it's because you're not supposed to see yourself like you want to be suffering, but you don't want to see yourself to make yourself more upset, I think.
My dad's suggesting that's the case. Maybe then it's only a 1 day thing, even though we haven't shaved for 3 days. I mean, for 3 weeks, I'm saying. So you probably are still disheveled somewhat, but it still could be, you know, a different level of disheveled and different level of sorrow. So maybe, you know, even though unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, whatever word to use is, but it's the mourning you feel over a loved one, the mourning you feel over the Mikdash, unfortunately, does not parallel each other. We're pretty okay. The basement has been destroyed. You know, we don't like fasting. We don't like sitting on the floor, but besides that, we probably are pretty okay with it. Because all year round, we're not really focused on it so much, unfortunately. Maybe that's the difference in it. Okay, back in the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, lo yom tov l'Yisrael, k'chavish shabbat v'ki yom kippurim. We shift now to the happy days of the Jewish calendar. And there were no happier days than the big two, Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. I'm sure if I would have asked you before we started this shiur together, give me the two happiest days in the Jewish calendar. I'm not sure either one of those would appear on your list, but these are the two main happy days in the Jewish calendar. Now, why? I understand Yom Kippur belongs in this top two list because it's a day when we had full Slicha Mechiyah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, Yom Shenisnu Bo Luchos Achronos. It was the day when the Luchos Achronos were given over to us. We had Luchos Achronos. We had the second Luchos were given on Yom Kippur. We brought down Yom Kippur. El Tu B'Av, Mahi. But what exactly happened on Tu B'Av? On that note, I'm going to get you off of the computer for a second, and we'll sign up again for the conclusion of our shiur together today. Come back right away.